kings, queens, everything in between, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren, for another fun episode today. And I've got a guest in studio. I'm just going to pass it right to him.
My name is John Cooper. I run a few different events here in Austin, Texas. I think the one that you came across that you wanted to talk more about was Pitch a Friend.
Yes.
Where it's a singles event where people pitch their awesome single friends in 2 to 4 minute PowerPoint presentations, looking for the best wingmen and wingwomen in Austin. And we're only one event in, and we had almost 600 people show up, so off to a hot start. But yeah, other than that, I also run another event called Tiny Talks that is more of a storytelling event where people just tell fun, interesting stories on stage every like 3 months or so. So yeah.
Nice. And I feel like I've seen both promoted really heavily, like on Instagram, like organically, not, you know, sponsored ads or anything like that, just because I think, you know, the response is very positive. Like people really like what you're doing. I have noticed, like, I feel like those Pitch a Friend events are like sweeping the nation. Like, I don't think Austin's the first city to do it. So is this something where it's like there's a national organizer like kind of franchising it out, or how does that work?
Yeah. So it started in Philadelphia a couple years ago. Two women started it, Melissa and Ariana. And I came across it 3 or 4 months ago on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And they were going from just Philly to they're now in dozens of cities. Just in the last 6 months, they've expanded. So we are by no means, it's not my idea. I am just the facilitator for Austin. But it is exciting because we have had substantially more people, I think, at that first event than any of the other ones that have happened so far around the country. So Austin seems to particularly like this concept, but yeah.
Yeah, I think people are hungry to meet people in a way that's not the dating apps, but also, you know, with a singles event, something that's like new and different. Like I think when people think of singles event, they think of, you know, like the scenes in like 40-Year-Old Virgin where it's like the, you know, they have the speed dating event and they've got the big cheesy name tags and stuff like that. And everyone's like, I wouldn't go to an event like that. But it's like a cool new concept that's fun. You know, you don't feel like you're in just the room of the singles. You can bring your friends who maybe aren't single to it in a way that doesn't feel like they're using you know, the singles event is purely entertainment. Like, I feel like there's also kind of the feeling of, you know, singles events and then the coupled friends, you know, want to watch like zoo animals, like, oh, I want to observe and see how it goes. And it's like, this is a good way to involve people in a way that doesn't feel like, you know, the haves and the have nots or having, you know, the singles feel othered. Like it's a cool way that I think the spotlight's put on them, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the way I've described it to friends is it's not 100% a dating event. It's not 100% a singles event. It's not as direct as something like a speed dating event where we're clearly all there for that, because it's something, it's like half dating event, just half entertainment show that's just fun. And as you mentioned, people can be there that aren't necessarily single just to support their friends, or some people just really genuinely want to just come and watch and just see it happen. So it's, yeah, it's somewhere in between, but I think in general, and I would love to hear your thoughts too, there's just not enough in-person events with some level of intentionality for people to actually meet each other at that are looking to have other options besides dating apps. And so hopefully this is just going to be one of several more that continue to kind of pop up over the next few years, whether in Austin or elsewhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I've heard people have said like lately, you know, running clubs are the new are the new dating app. But then there's people who are serious runners who say this is my safe space. Like, you know what, you know,
yeah,
like, you know, maybe like it's kind of, you know, frustrating where it's like I'm just here to run. And I think this kind of creates that safe space in a way where it's like,
yeah,
you know, the line is open for that type of communication without it feeling too hokey in a way. Like, I don't know if hokey is the right word for it, but like, you know, too like direct in that way. It's just, I feel like just the amount of like, you know, direct dating kind of thing.
Yeah. I was just reading a response from somebody at a music show here in Austin, and they were complaining that people there were talking or trying to talk to each other when they just wanted to enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. And people being upset, like, I'm here, just like the run club situation. Like, I'm just here to run. Mm-hmm. And so it's so tough because as somebody who's single, I get the advice from people, go to events that you have shared interests and you have shared things in common. Like, I love music. Mm-hmm. And so dear people, then be like, no, you shouldn't be talking at these concerts. And then we're kind of stuck with the same thing of, where can we go to meet people in person? Again, not dating apps. And so hopefully this is something to where I'm trying to, with a few kind of small things at the event, trying to make it easier for people to talk to each other and making it acceptable. Just because, I mean, you can still talk to people in public. Mm-hmm. You can still talk to people at run clubs. But if you want to feel a little bit safer about doing it, as somebody who's a little more introverted myself, knowing that there's like kind of this implicit permission to talk to strangers, especially for someone where it's like not the easiest thing to do and to feel comfortable doing that. Hopefully this is just going to be like one of those places where it's okay.
Totally. Like there's so many mixed messages right now. I feel like, so, you know, back in the day we had Emily Post where it was the manners, the social norms. And I feel like that can't always keep up with all the technology and the dating apps and stuff like that. Like Emily Post can't keep up with that. So it's kind of like, what is acceptable? Like, where is it okay to approach people? Yeah. And yeah, I think you're really kind of solving for that, you know, mixed message, like that, I think, gap between, you know, not dating app, not, you know, direct single, not, you know, so intentional singles event speed dating, but also, you know, not, you know, potentially invading someone's safe space. It's like a good happy medium.
Yeah.
So I guess to zoom out a little bit, because I want to, you know, we've talked about it's a PowerPoint, 2 to 4 minute presentation, pitch a friend. I want to like dive deeper into the format of like what that looks like. Like, what are the kind of rules or requirements for someone who wants to participate? You know, what do you tell them should be in their PowerPoint? Do they have any, you know, rules they have to follow about what not to say, what they should say? What does a good presentation look like?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to have the experience from the Philly team of them doing it for a couple of years to where they gave us a good starter set of rules, guidelines to pass off. And the biggest ones are just no roasting, no making fun of your friends. You might think it's funny. It doesn't come off that way to other people, even though like you're being playful about them. So keeping it positive, keeping it generally clean. That one's kind of a finer line to where it doesn't need to be super G-rated, but it shouldn't be like, there shouldn't be anything in the slides that's like any nudity or crap like that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like not being super straightforward about, honestly, there should be plenty of other things to talk about than looks and talking about more sexual stuff. So keeping it generally kind of clean. Other things from my experience of running another PowerPoint based event, trying to keep text on slides kind of minimal and making sure it's big because we have a lot of people there and it needs to be seen in the back. So there's guidelines like that for the slides. And yeah, in general, just trying to stick to the 3 or 4 main things, which is just what they're looking for, what they're not looking for, what are their best qualities, and kind of what makes them unique. And so if you focus on those 4 things, there should be plenty of things to talk about and focus on and whatnot. So yeah.
Nice. And all the presentations come through your team before they get to get on the stage, just to make sure everything looks good?
Yeah, we're building more processes. The first one was because it's we have the rules and guidelines. That was never something other chapters did to where they had to like pre-vet everything that was said or in their presentations. We're going a little bit more in that direction the more it's kind of grown. But yeah, we're still asking them to like work with somebody on my team, whether it's myself or somebody else, just to review everything and make sure that as well as much as it's within our guidelines, also that it's going to actually land with the people in the audience you're trying to reach.
Yes.
Which is something that we're going to get better and better at over time of kind of guiding presenters to making sure that it speaks to the women in the crowd or the men in the crowd or whoever it is that they're trying to talk about their best friend to.
Totally. And does it all have to be approved by the friend in question that's being pitched? Like, do you have anything to make sure that they're okay with everything being said about them?
Yeah, so it's we make it clear that they need to be aware of it and they need to consent to it. Mm-hmm. We haven't got any to like signed paperwork or anything like that. So, but that's the expectation, and we make sure.
Nice. So, yeah. No, I feel like that's like good to hear, because I think that would be someone's fear is like, oh my gosh, am I going to be surprise attacked by my, you know, overly eager coupled friends? Like, you know, you hear about single women getting, you know, the surprise setups by their friends. It's like, I didn't ask for this. You know, like making sure that a lot of times like the type of person that would maybe want to be pitch, you know, maybe is more introverted. That's why they have someone kind of pitching them. And it's like, you know, making sure that they're not going to be beat red or anything like that as this presentation's being given. Like, it's all in good fun. Any jokes are not at their expense. people totally. Being laughed with, not at, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
As far as like, because I'm sure there's no like rules on the type of people who can be pitched or who can enter, but what is like the typical demographic of those who participate in Pitch a Friend in Austin? Is that different from how it is kind of at the larger level?
Great question. So I did fly into Philly to see one of their events run before I launched here in Austin. So I got to see one event in person and whatnot. So I don't have much data on everybody else. The main thing that I try to make sure of is, so we've had a lot more people that have wanted to present than that we have slots, because we're new and it got really popular really quickly. So there is a bit of a selection process. And the main thing is just making sure that, because right now we're doing these big 21 plus events and we're trying to be all inclusive to everybody. In the future, we might do some more like age range specific events, kind of like you've seen with speed dating events and whatnot. We might do an LGBT plus specific event. But for right now, because it's everyone 21 up is welcome, I'm trying to make sure there's an equal amount of men and women being pitched. All up and down the age range, which looks to be the median age for people at these events is between like 30, 31, something like that. And so just making sure that we have enough older men and older women and younger men and younger women, and then try to have a couple people that are in the LGBT community to get pitched as well. And so that's the main thing that we're kind of just trying to optimize for, is that there's at least something for everybody within your demographic, no matter kind of who you are, as best as we possibly can with the event at this stage.
Totally. Yeah. And then I guess kind of more for the event format, how, for lack of a better term, how does somebody, you know, so you're seeing someone's Pitch a Friend presentation, oh my gosh, this person sounds awesome, this person seems like my type, how do they, for lack of a better term, send a like to that person? Like, is their contact information blasted on screen? Do you, you know, get a little form and you can say, hey, can you pass my information on? How does that look?
Yeah, that is evolving. So the format that I was given when we started here was just the fact that between, there would be a couple intermissions throughout the night. So our first event, for example, we had 12 pitches and we split them up into four groups. So we did 3 pitches, 15 intermission, 3 pitches, 15 intermission, 3, which was too many breaks for the first one. But during those breaks, we would take the last slide of every presentation. And one of the rules is they need to put some piece of contact information. So for most people, it would be an Instagram.
Yeah.
They could put their phone number if they wanted to. They could put an email address. They could put whatever they want. But on that last slide would be their contact info. And we would just run that as a carousel, basically. So anybody can go up to the big screen, get like a, maybe either, maybe it's a QR code or an email or Instagram like that, and put it down. I'm going to make it easier in the future to where we're working on a little QR code for the tables, to where like you can scan it and then you can see their information. And then maybe in the future we might make like our own custom contact form kind of thing to organize people, but super TBD at this point. But and trying to keep it also within the context of that specific event, so not posting their information online afterwards.
Yeah.
We had a few people ask, like, can we connect with people that were pitched at the last event? And I'm like, if you weren't there, like, I'm not going to just...
Exactly.
I don't think people necessarily even feel comfortable about it, but I just think, like, just for what it is, we're going to just keep the experience at that event for the most part.
Totally. So, and, like, I think the safety thing matters so much. That's probably why... I think that's why people like singles events, because there's some sort of, like, accountability and oversight. And we're going to review some singles events that have gone wrong that I think Pitch a Friend, the way you guys are set up, wouldn't have these issues. But we can roast some of these bad event organizers in a little bit. But, yeah, like, the safety aspect, I guess, kind of from a high level. Like, how do you make sure everyone who participates feels comfortable, is safe? Like, it sounds like the presentations, they go through you to make sure, you know, everything looks good, that, you know, everyone's got their consent to be a part of it. Have you had, have you or any of your like counterparts in other cities like had any sort of issue, and how did you guys like manage it? Or has it been pretty a good crowd? People felt safe?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, there's definitely a few stories shared from different organizers, but I would say that, you know, for context, I've run a single, singles event.
Yes.
In my entire life, and so far we haven't had any safety related problems. And we have a, I need to make it, so we sent out an email to everybody after the event asking for feedback and to submit it. And so I didn't see anything on the safety side for that, but generally speaking, if you've got feedback, if you've got ideas about how we can continue to change, if you get a chance to show up to one of our events, please let me know, because it's constantly evolving. But so far, no giant thing that we're working around based off of an experience so far, luckily. So
nice. Well, that's that's definitely a good thing, and that's good to hear. I feel like the way that you guys have set it up, it kind of prevents, I feel like prevents that sort of, the events coming up in Austin, what day is it and what time and how do you sign up?
Yeah, it is on Thursday, October 10th. The signups for pitching ended a couple of weeks ago, but it's free to attend. Just got a RSVP. And so you can go on our Instagram and RSVP right now if you wanted to.
Nice. Wait, where is it?
It is at In Cahoots.
Okay, that's a good venue for it. I know it was at, Central Machine Works last time?
Yes.
Also a good venue. They got the stage and everything.
Yes, there is not too many places that have a big giant screen with enough space for several hundred people. And but we found them. We actually partnered with When Where What Austin.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So
great organization.
And Chris, the founder, has been super helpful to get me connected to venues here in town that that have those specific requirements while we're doing events at this size. So yeah, another place with a big screen. They're actually expanding the space a little bit, so we should have plenty of room for everybody. Although it looks like it's going to be another pretty packed
nice event. That's fantastic. And then off the top of your head, what other cities is Pitch a Friend in?
So Buffalo, Las Vegas, I'm pretty sure Chicago. I think most of the main cities. I think at least 15 cities now, maybe 20 to 30. So Tampa, my hometown. A bunch at this point. And they're growing. I think they just added London, the first international one, which is super cool.
Nice.
She made an awesome little hype video that she posted that I'm excited to see what Pitch a Friend in the UK looks like. So yeah.
Nice. And if you're in a city that you, if you're a very event organized person, say the listener is very, you know, organized, they like to coordinate events, could they start a Pitch a Friend in their own city? And what would they, who would they need to call to do that?
Yeah, there's a form on the website. That's how I became. There was a link for interest in creating a chapter in your city. I know they just added a ton in a short period of time. I don't know. I mean, I haven't spoken to them about if they're going to keep adding at this rate or if they're going to take a little bit of a break. But yeah, they're 100% looking to grow this to other places. So they should totally reach out.
Awesome. No, I'm sure, like, I think it's, it'd be great to have in more cities. And I'm sure, like, yeah, people are probably like, well, they think that it has to come to them. It's, you can bring it to yourself. So I think, no, I think that's a, that'd be a fantastic idea. And that's good information to give to the listeners. Kind of if we zoom out to dating events, singles events as a whole, you're going to be my go-to consultant for all things dating events, because I think those have been, you know, something that's been talked about a lot. Like, everyone wants to meet people in real life, but in a safe space. Like, kind of, I guess this is broad, but what do you think makes a good singles event, if you had to maybe give off some bullet points?
Yeah, okay. So I think what I've learned, I've ran other events and I got a lot more colorful feedback after doing one Pitch a Friend. My other events were not dating events. And I realized that at the end of the day, no matter how the event is facilitated, no matter where it's held, no matter what happens at it, people are going to judge it off of one metric.
Yes.
Did they meet somebody? Or do they at least have a lead about somebody they're interested in?
Totally.
If they don't, it sucked. It was a bad event.
I mean, yeah, people say that with, like, dating apps and stuff. You could have the best app, the best user experience in the world, but it's like the people are, like, part of the product in a way.
Yes, 100%. And at the end of the day, and it's ironic saying this because my event doesn't do this, but at the end of the day, like, curation is the biggest thing. And I can curate the presentations, I can curate the experience of the show. I can't, at least at this stage, it's just free to attend, anybody can show up. I know at our first event, it was almost 70% women. So I know there were plenty of women that went and were unhappy with the fact that there weren't too many guys to meet. And then I think there was probably lots of guys there that were like, this was an amazing singles event. And I think in general, it just comes down to, you know, if you walk into a room with 50 people and no matter what opportunities you got to connect with them. If none of those 50 people happen to check your boxes for what you're interested in, have the values that want, that you find attractive, that you vibe with personality wise, then I don't care if, you know, J-Lo is emceeing it or whatnot. You know, if you're going to judge it off of the basis of being a dating event or a singles event, then I think that's the main thing. So to me, that's the biggest thing. And so for right now, you know, it's not something that we really, the founding vision of Pitch a Friend was for it to be accessible and inclusive. And I really love that vision. That's why I kind of bought into doing it. And I'm really excited about making something that can be a place to meet, but not giving people all of the rigid format of a more intentional dating event, but more of a place that can flex is something that you can meet people at, but not necessarily forcing it. And so, but yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think looking at the example that you sent me ahead of time that I'm sure we'll discuss, you know, for the speed dating event, it just comes down to the people in the room. And if you get the right people in the room for you, then it can be an amazing event if it's a shack on the side of the road. But if it's not, then, you know, that's probably how you're going to judge it regardless of anything else.
Totally. And before we go into roasting some of those events with some really colorful attendees, because I feel like people, you see that a lot, you'll see TikToks where it's like some woman just angrily sitting at a bar saying like, I went to a singles event. It's all women. Where are the men? Why don't men go? Well, kind of from your opinion, why is it that a lot of singles events tend to be so heavily dominated by women?
Yeah, you know what's absolutely crazy? So I started the events that I would want to go to, both Tiny Talks and Pitch a Friend, and I have been blown away that both happen to resonate more with women, which is not the worst thing for me as a single guy. Like, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But I've been so surprised by that because, yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, mostly the ideas I'm getting are from the women that I talk to that tell me why they think it is, but I'm honestly as surprised and bewildered, I think, as you are and some other women are to why that is. But I mean, there's theories, there's guesses, but it's all just super speculative. I don't have any like real insights, to be honest.
Totally. And like every time that happens on TikTok, like someone will stitch it and make it something super deep. It's like, well, the men aren't all appreciators. But sometimes it's also like, sometimes, and I've noticed this, I think there was one, it was in Dallas a few years ago, and it was all women that show up for it, and it was like, where are all the men? Come to find out, it was like some woman, aspiring DJ type artist, who basically used this as her launch party, said it's going to be a singles event, but this dating event was an afterthought. And lo and behold, this event was in Dallas, and it was on like a Saturday, like the same day as like an NBA like playoff game or something like that, when the Dallas Mavericks were playing. It's like, know your audience. Like, it's like, it's a lot of them, like, I think maybe when women curated, it's like, oh, here's a nice, really pretty cocktail bar. It's like, Has a man ever gone here? Like, we gotta, like, I think there's kind of the knowing your audience elements to it, I would say. Like, what's a venue that everyone would like, regardless of their gender, sexual orientation, you know, most, you know, ages over 21. Like, I think when I've seen, like, sometimes when I've seen singles events, I'm like, it's at where? Like, it's at the, you know, pretty pink cocktail bar with all the cosmos and stuff. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if this would appeal to men, but it's a lot of times it's because the organizers are women. And they're just like, oh, this will be a fun one. And interesting.
I think what we need to do is we need to host a Pitch a Friend the next time that Taylor Swift is in town.
Yes.
And then I think we'll easily correct that ratio back to
something
else. But that's so funny about the NBA example.
Yeah,
that
like
makes
it's
total sense.
Yeah, so it's, I think there's a lot of like knowing your audience, and it sounds like, I mean, you've picked venues that I think there's no gender, there's no sexual orientation that prefers In Cahoots over another. I think it's like I think a good, it's not too much sports bar, it's not too much, you know, pretty pink cocktails and a nice view. So I think it's I think that's a huge part of it. This was a top post on the dating over 30 subreddit from, I want to say, like, I think within the last like week or so. This is a woman who went to a local speed dating event, and in her experience, it was structured as your typical speed dating event. There were time limits on how long you could speak to other people. I think it was like the 10 minutes of sit, then you get up, like your typical what you see in the movies. When you have your speed date, you discreetly match who you like. You give it to the organizers, who you would like to see again, and then they match up any mutual pairings. and it's supposed to stay that structure. You're supposed to have that sense of safety of, you know, they're not going to know that you rejected them or anything like that. Kind of like on a dating app where no one knows that you swiped left. There's that little bit of safety built in. But in her experience, however, once the organized event ended, all bets were off. You know, there was nothing that was kind of, when people went got up to leave, all of a sudden the men were rushing to the women. Regardless of, you know, the afterward communication, trying to get their phone numbers, kind of bypass the system that had been set up. You know, she mentioned in some cases the men were chasing the women out to try and get phone numbers. And she kind of put in her Reddit post, like, I felt kind of uncomfortable just because one of the reasons I attended is kind of that little bit of safety built in. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, what's your take on that? Like the kind of the, I guess, the safety that needs to come with maybe those like more organized speed dating events. Like, I almost feel like pitch a friend, like the flexibility of it almost eliminates this like safety issue, oddly enough. Like the lack of structure that's used in these like speed dating events is actually to the advantage of, or it's of people's safety.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, off the top, they said they had 10 women and 15 men.
Yeah.
And I feel like with something that's so intentional, direct, like you got to get the balance right.
Yeah.
I think it was within almost, it was close, but like it, maybe it would have been less of a situation in this one instance if there was 15 women and 15 men, and which you can solve with a little bit of social media advertising towards certain demographics. Like it's solvable with a few bucks if you're going to run an event to do something like that. I mean, yeah, beyond that, I'm big on not having events run for forever and giving people like a clear stop time. So in the case of Pitch a Friends, the entire thing is basically an hour and like 45 minutes. And there's a few different intermissions for people to connect. And also I'm big on intermissions also because you can get stuck in a conversation, you don't want to end it. And if we have like a clear, like, oh, the show's starting, people can, but at the end of the day, once the show ends, people can leave if they want to, they can stay. It kind of flexes in both directions. In this case, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how to solve that exact kind of thing. I've been to a speed friending event. That's what I would call it. Skip the small talk. Have you heard of it before?
I haven't, no.
Okay. So similar to speed dating, you kind of sit at the table with a bunch of different people. They give you little prompts and you talk. And I loved it. I loved the facilitation of it and whatnot. I didn't connect to anybody there, but like it was a cool event. But yeah, no. In this case, I mean, I think in the sentiment that came across in that post that was concerning was just a lot of people writing off speed dating events based off that one experience in the comments, and I was like, man, it's so tough. If we're writing off speed dating events, we're writing off the dating apps because we can't meet people on there. What options do we have? And so I feel like the hostility and the hard judgment and kind of writing entire things off would like maybe ease if we just had more things to pick between and it became less like life or death. Like I either meet somebody at this speed dating event and it goes great or it doesn't and it's fine, but it's always a violent opinion one way or the other.
Oh, for sure. Like, and that's the case with so much right now, but it's almost like people want zero discomfort at all. Now it's kind of like for all these like really cool things that have their unique advantages, there's going to be a disadvantage that comes with that. Like, you know, everything that you do to add structure or safety, you know, maybe means that it's another barrier to entry to more people coming or something like that, you know, vice versa. And yeah, like I think inherent, like when you do go to there is a risk in general of leaving your house. Like I would say, like just like there is with going to a speed dating event, like there's going to be these awkward kind of interactions that happen. Like sometimes you're bobbing while someone's weaving, like just in general, like approaching someone to flirt is kind of an awkward thing in general. Yeah, like it's even no matter how much structure you add, like you can't change the human nature that, you know, rejection sucks. It's hard to shoot your shot. And
yeah,
like that's just how it is.
If you go into that mindset, that's super helpful. I also just realized in this moment, one quick fix to this whole it wrapping up thing. I didn't think of it earlier today until right now, is the organizer could just say, hey, we're leaving this space, but if you want to continue hanging out and talking, mm-hmm. we're going to meet over there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a clear movement in that yeah. direction. And so that whole approaching after the event, making mm-hmm. it really cool, like clear as a facilitator that this is mm-hmm. not, we're not hanging out here.
Yeah.
So people have the out,
mm-hmm.
but also they can continue talking. Because I think if people want to hang out after an event, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
That should never be discouraged. But
yeah.
if that is a common occurrence with those events, this exact same thing keeps mm-hmm. coming up and it's ruining the experience for somebody,
mm-hmm.
that might be an easy fix that they can figure out how to do. But at the end of the day, from, I don't know, from what she wrote, I thought I was like, all right, it definitely wasn't perfect. And
mm-hmm.
but I think if you went back and if you knew the same things you knew going in a second time, I mm-hmm. think the experience would be better.
Yeah.
She was talking about there's a few guys there that were probably pickup artists, but it's like, all right, if you keep coming back to one of these every so often,
mm-hmm.
you'll know who those people are and you'll yeah. know how to stay away. So, yeah, it didn't seem like a great experience, but it didn't seem like the end of the world.
Totally,
I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. yeah. Like, I think there probably was like a missed opportunity with just like, you know, make sure that people don't get chased out, or the people that maybe came because of the safety net that was built in. Like, you know, they have their way of, you know, not being like bum rushed at the door. But yeah. I like that idea where it's not just like, okay, everyone, like everyone walk, put your head down. Like as you walk, watch, like, you know, don't make eye contact as you leave, head back to your car and we'll facilitate the intros. Like, I don't like that idea, but like, I think it's yeah. like anyone who wants to stay and hang out, we won't get in the way of, you know, people who want to connect, but you know, don't chase anybody out who's heading to the door. I think that would have been
yeah.
Like an easy answer. Like, no more, that doesn't add any more structure, adds like very little work for the organizers. Yeah. Like, I think, and that those, I feel like those kinds of like slight tweaks, like if she wrote on her comment card to the organizers, like they would probably make that fix pretty easily mm-hmm. if they're doing multiple events.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll read the next one. The next story is a little crazier. And I'm like, I really hope this isn't real. But yeah, this was a viral TikTok where I think a dating creator covered a like radio call, like back and forth, basically this radio program kind of for people's entertainment. They have a program where they facilitate conversations between people who you know, feel they've been ghosted and their ghoster. So they call and say, I went on this date. I was, you know, I haven't heard from them since. I don't know anything. I guess I've been ghosted. Can you give me some help? Like, get in touch with this person, figure out what I did wrong. Kind of like a fun idea, kind of using people's, you know, dating life as entertainment. You know, as long as if someone says no, though, like if someone says I'm not comfortable being on there, if the hosts, you know, were respectful of that, like, I guess I don't like see anything wrong with it. But, you know, kind of an interesting program. But basically, in this particular episode, a man named John calls in claiming he went on a date with Trisha for a drink at a restaurant. He says, we had one date. I haven't heard from her since. I guess I've been ghosted. But here's her phone number. Call Trisha, figure out like what went wrong. The host of the show contacts Trisha, who's very confused because she hadn't been on a date with any John. And they say, okay, Trisha, like, let's have you help us with this miscommunication. We're going to bring John on. Let's figure out what the misunderstanding is. And those bring John onto the call just to find out that the misunderstanding is that it was not so much a date. It was a brief meeting at a speed dating event, which John considered a date. He was one of the people that she like sat down with. He called that the date, and they said, so there was no other, like, you guys didn't go on a date? And John says, no, we did go on a date. That brief meeting at that speed dating event was a date. But there was nothing past that. And then, of course, after that, Trisha says, you know, I didn't mark him down as someone I would like to speak to again. There was no communication after that. I guess I briefly remember it, but that's, you know, kind of strange. And so then they realize, too, like, how would John have Trisha's contact information if she didn't, like, you know, mark him down? Come to find out, John was part of, like, the sponsoring committee group and kind of took the phone number, the information that he was privy to that he, you know, was as the organizer, and kind of used it as a back channel to try and get in touch with Trisha. So definitely, I don't think that the organizers of Pitch a Friend are doing that. Like, you probably haven't done that, or anyone you're working with. Like, I think that's kind of unique in itself. But any thoughts there? That's kind of a crazy story.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make a public service announcement. Not all Johns that run dating events.
Oh,
are
shit. Yeah,
freaks.
I was like,
and it just dawned on me that, oh man, the parallels here. No, yeah.
It's not you, yeah.
That is crazy. I feel like it's something you learn hopefully earlier in life that, yeah, if, intentions, and if someone doesn't give you their contact information, I don't care if you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
you can sleuth on the internet for it, or you can get it in some other means, but like, that's not okay. And yeah, hopefully that was a spoof. Like, I'm hoping it's, because man, to be put on the spot on a radio show with somebody calling in to be like, why'd you ghost this guy? And you're like, how did he even get my, like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Ugh, man. But yeah, I mean, that is, there are, I care too much about my reputation to ever like even, you know, play with things that might look close to as bad as that. And especially, I mean, I feel like this whole conversation has been about like safety and trust with dating events. And so, man, if that makes the rounds in his community and his circles, that should blacklist him from anyone ever going to something that he runs again, because that is absolutely ridiculous. But yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think like just, I think for most normal sane people, like I think this guy is like probably like, I don't know, wears someone's skin or something like it. Like I think he's like a crazy person, but I think most people in general, if there's some sort of oversight at an event, like people want to be on their best behavior, like just by nature. Like if someone's coming to a pitch a friend event, like they know that there are organizers watching. Like I feel like there's built-in accountability versus you're kind of sneaking around at a bar trying to like tap people on the shoulder like that. There's some accountability built in, I would say, just by nature.
Totally.
Yeah, like you know who people are. They check in. Like you see them. Everyone who's kind of on the you know, being pitch, you're aware of who they are. Like I think yeah. Like I mean, also because you're the organizer. How big is the team that's there like on site?
So for Pitch a Friend, it's about 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
We have a couple people to check people in, and you're going to not love this because you said it was cheesy earlier, but we got name tags. I'm big on name tags.
Nice.
And we could totally talk about this and debate it, and I would love to, because I actually been thinking about, for this specific event, how much of a good decision is, but I'm a big believer that like it's so annoying when you're trying to talk to people and remember names, and then people get offended or like they feel like they don't want to go up and talk to that person again because they forgot their name and they were told it. And I also think it's like a little token to get people to be approached. Totally. Makes it show that like you can approach me if my name's on a tag. That means I'm expecting to talk to people I don't know. But in general, still, again, we're still thinking long term of things. But yeah, side tangent. 2 people to check people in and encourage people to make name tags. And at our first event, last thing in name tags, we had like a little system to where if it had any kind of color on it, that basically meant that they were single. And if it was just a white blank name tag, that means that they weren't. So like a little system, also like a rainbow one for like LGBT.
Nice.
If people wanted to like identify themselves as single and in that community. And then we have a cinematographer to capture video of all the pitches for recap content. And we also have a photographer and then myself. And I think we might grow to like a 6th for like just an extra person to help out and do some different things. And that's just our team. That's not even like the venue and whatnot. So so it is free to attend. And I'm excited to like fund everything myself. And that's been the plan. So like I do have a good amount of team. But, you know, at the end of the day, for like a 600 person event, I mean, there are things that we aren't going to be able to observe and see everything and facilitate everything to a fine point, but that's the best that we can do for right now.
No, I mean, that sounds so fantastic. And it sounds like, I mean, people just, that, I mean, if you're a pro, for example, if you are running your own, you know, seltzer company or something like that, and you're looking for a way to get people to, you know, try your new, you know, seltzer brand or something like that, or your new CBD stuff, like whatever kind of thing like that, like that would be a, you would be a perfect event to go sponsor. I feel like there's a lot of good opportunities for sponsorship and partnerships with an event like that. Like everyone wants, like if you started your own dating app, for example, I mean, kind of, I guess an event is like an antithesis to a dating app, but like it seems like it's just, you know, something where if you are a business who wanted to get an audience of people with disposable income who are fun, lively, like they would want to get involved in your event.
Yeah, to all you potential sponsors out there, 100%.
Probably a good opportunity there for sure. The event's coming up. What would be, like, if you were to give someone like a preparation checklist to attend Pitch a Friend, maybe this applies to other dating events or a Pitch a Friend in someone's city, like how should someone both mentally, physically prepare to come to Pitch a Friend, whether they're just coming as an attendee, maybe they hope to, they're single and they might hope to meet someone cool from, you know, the stage or see a cool presentation, or if they're being pitched, like your friends are going to be pitching you, like how would you tell someone to prepare?
Oh man, okay. So for the general attendees, I would say the main thing is just come and be present and appreciate the opportunity for what it is, which is there's lots of people around you that would like to have a conversation. They're looking to meet somebody, and you don't have to strike gold, but just take advantage of being in a place. I know there are nights when I go out with friends or I go to a certain events and I'm in the mood to talk to people, and there's sometimes I'm just not, but trying to do everything you can to psych yourself into like taking advantage of this opportunity, because I would say that's the biggest thing. The next thing is, if you see somebody that gets pitched and you're interested in, like 100% reach out. I wouldn't weigh the entire outcome of the event, at least at mine. In other events, in other cities, where I feel like the average number of people at those events are like maybe 40 or 50 people. And with about 10 pitches, I mean, if you're reaching out to somebody being pitched, you might only be like one of only two people. And like, you know, but like there were people at our first event that had, you know, a dozen or a little more than that reach out to them. So as long as you put in context that like 100% shoot your shot, but realize there's lots of opportunities to meet people just in the crowd. And then just in general, have fun. It's a cool event and it's a cool experience. And it's only 2 hours. And there's like, there'll be like three distinct times to like actually get a talk and meet and whatnot. So just take advantage. And then for the people that are up on stage or being pitched, definitely a little bit different beast. But yeah, I think as you mentioned earlier, being just okay with people talking about you or whether it's your best friend or, you know, somebody else in front of a huge crowd, realizing that there's gonna be a lot of people that want to talk to you. Also, if not a lot of people want to talk to you, don't let that be like a super strike against you. You are putting yourself out there, and just be proud of yourself for taking that chance. So I think that's that.
Nice. No, I think that's fantastic advice. And just one more time, where can people find you? Where can people find Pitch a Friend? If you want to do one more plug for Tiny Talks as well, we want to make sure people can find you.
Yeah. So on Instagram, best place to follow, pitchafriend.austin. And if you RSVP to one event, then you'll be on the email list and get all kinds of updates in the future. And we're sticking to like one event per month right now. And then my main event called Tiny Talks, I try to find people that have like really cool stories to share. And then I make it really big about people connecting in the audience, which is, there's a lot of overlap between the two events. But if you are looking to just meet people platonically from different corners of Austin, you will have plenty of opportunities to make friends at Tiny Talks. And then I also get like legends of Austin that have never told their story publicly. At this last one, we had the woman who popularized Keep Austin Weird.
That's insane.
Her husband said it on a radio station. She said, "Yo, Red, that's actually like a cool slogan. We should make bumper stickers."
It's like Forrest Gump, like the shit happens. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, and so I try to find those people, these little hidden gems within Austin. The woman who painted the I Love You So Much mural, she told the story of why she decided to paint that and then how it grew from her perspective. And then also we had like a NASA scientist at this last one. We've had a renowned archaeologist at our first event. So people who just do cool, interesting stuff to give 6 or 7 minute talks that I guarantee you will walk away from the event feeling inspired, and you'll walk away with some new connections if you also come present and look to meet somebody new. So
nice. Yeah, that sounds like a way cooler version of like Toastmasters or like something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
sounds way cooler. No, that's fantastic. John, this has been so fantastic to have you as a guest. Thank you so much for coming on. You're a dynamic speaker, and this has been great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. This has been awesome.
Great. Okay, everyone, have a good one. Peace out. Bye.